Reading this morning comes from the second book of Timothy, the first chapter, verses 1 through 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Please.
Happy Mother's Day. Good to see everyone that's here. This was a reciprocal situation when you talk about Timothy and his mother and his grandmother, what they had taught him. They helped him develop his faith. he was just truly blessed to have a godly mother and grandmother, and they were truly blessed to have a godly son and grandson. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter, and I debated a long time about how I would approach Mother's Day, because Mother's Day is difficult for some and others, and not as difficult, I guess you might say, and others, your mothers are still with you. So it's difficult sometimes to decide whether or not to present something. But I don't think it's something we want to forget. I think we definitely want to remember our mothers. I truly wish my parents were still here. But to be honest with you, too, that's selfish, because I believe and I am convinced that my parents have a better place. I believe they are in paradise waiting for that final proclamation. And so for me to wish them to come back is selfish, because I know that now my dad, for example, he can walk. He can get around. My mother has no more of the pain that she suffered while she was on this earth. When she was older, I know the last time that I went to see my mother, I don't think that she really knew who I was at all. I don't think she knew that I was her son. But she had lots of pain, and so to wish them to come back to that, that's really, to me, I'd be very selfish. So I think it's important for us to remember and honor our mothers. Ephesians chapter 6, just the first two verses, Paul says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." The Apostle Paul signifies that the command of God that was given through the Old Testament law, the Ten Commandments, it still stands to this day in the New Testament era, and it stands today in the Christian era. It's what we would say, that all that have been called to follow God from the Holy Scripture should adhere to. We should honor our parents. We should honor our father and our mother. And for us to have a deep understanding about what Paul is saying and what the Old Testament is telling us through Moses, is really we have to develop an understanding of what it means to honor. We have to have a deep understanding of what it means to honor. And it's particularly important in family relationships. Honor comes from a Hebrew word that means to place significant value on something. In this case, of course, it's our parents. We have to place such a great value on them that they are as if they are a prized possession. And truly they are. Truly they are. My parents were a prized possession. It also is interesting that this Hebrew word carries with it part of its definition, to be heavy. And the example that I would give you is that, for example, someone that's heavy in wealth, someone that's of great importance or has tremendous value in the lives of others. That's what the word heavy means. And the Bible illustrates this high regard through the life of Samuel. It says, verse 6 of 1 Samuel chapter 9, "Behold, there is a man of God in this city, and the man is held in honor. All that he says surely comes true." He was held in honor, not just by men, but by God himself. A person then that we honor is someone that we respect, is someone that we know is honest, is someone we know that's reliable, is someone that has the best interests of others at heart, even when it means that they're going to sacrifice their own interests. Is someone that we can count on in times of uncertainty. Is someone that when we have a fear or we're afraid, that we can go to and we can find solace and we can find comfort. Is someone that we anticipate will lead us and advise us. Thus our mothers. If we were to create our own dictionary and we wanted to look up the word and find the meaning of honor, it would not be inappropriate for many, not everyone, but it would not be inappropriate for many individually that we would place a picture of our father and our mother there. The Apostle Paul writes, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Then, of course, he quotes the Old Testament command. The very fact that this is written in both covenants, the New Covenant, as well as starting with the Old Covenant and into the New Covenant, tells me that this is a clear expectation that God has for children. And obeying God's commands is obviously pleasing to him. So then honoring our fathers and our mothers is pleasing to God. But what if we don't have our parents any longer? What if one or more of our parents are not with us anymore? Both of my parents are no longer present here on this earth. They're both gone, and many of us in this auditorium have that experience. Well, I can tell you that you can rest assured that what they have taught me, what they believed, and how they lived are still alive, just as if they were standing right here with me this moment. I don't have to wonder what they would think or if they would approve of some of the decisions I've made as an adult. I don't have to wonder about that. In fact, there are many times that I seek their counsel just from my memory of them. In fact, that memory of them and what they would think is ingrained in my heart and in my mind. And I hope and pray that you feel that way also about your parents, living or deceased. I don't have to wonder how they would interact with others today, and particularly my mother. I don't have to wonder what they would think about lifestyles that oppose God's holy will, his holy laws, or any sin that would so easily control someone. I don't have to wonder about that. Their life and their values still weigh heavy in my heart and in my life in all circumstances. Though I know my mother would be displeased with much of what transpires in our world today, I know something about her for sure. She would always maintain her high level of compassion and her hope for many to repent. her soft voice, and I could hear it today, would definitely deliver what I would call, if it could be possible with her, a scathing rebuke with what she would witness. And you know something about my mother? If she was displeased, she wouldn't have to say anything. You could see it on her face. Now, my dad was a little bit different, but my mom, if she was displeased, she didn't have to say a word. That scathing rebuke was in her eyes and in her expression. But I want to tell you something that's different about her. And I hope your mother was this way, or your mother is this way. She was still, whatever she said, whatever look she gave, it would have the utmost value, because her correction would be guided by what I know for sure is love, based upon her relationship with Christ Jesus. Paul tells the brethren at Colossae, he says, this is chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." One of the greatest elements within the practice of honor is obedience. There are countless areas in our lives where we can show honor by obedience, in the sense of loyalty and respect. Some illustrations are just our school, if we're in school, where we work, our relationships. I'd like to think for most, our country. But most importantly, the church. How do we honor the church? How do we pay respect and loyalty to the church? Now, the Apostle Paul is certainly talking to Christians when he writes to the brethren at Colossae, and when he writes to the brethren at Ephesus, he's talking to Christians, and he has a message that is inspired, comes from the Holy Spirit, so we need to pay attention to it. And I also believe that he's speaking to children that are old enough to understand what he's saying. Make no sense if they couldn't understand it. Now that fits a wide category of folks, doesn't it? Because when I'm still a child, I'm still my mother and father's child. They're not here, but if he says to obey them, I still have that responsibility. And what he says aligns with what the proverb writer says, where he encourages what I would call a righteous perspective toward our parents. Proverbs chapter 1, starting with verse 8, he says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." I don't believe it's any accident that the instruction of godly parents would warn us of allowing ourselves to be controlled by sin or to be guided into sin. It's our parents' advice that often helps us from getting too deep into it that we can't return. And if you want a good example, look at the prodigal son. He had a sudden awakening. Well, I don't know if it was sudden, but I bet it was pretty quickly after he left and he spent everything, that he realized from his self-inflicted turmoil, when he finally hit rock bottom, he thought to himself, "You know, I had it made back home. I really had it made. I had a good father. He took care of me. I had peace. I can't do this on my own without them." So he returned. proverb writer again, 22 verse 6, he says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old he will not depart from it. Now some might turn their head for a time from their father's and mother's instruction. They might actually abandon it for a while. And they may turn to something else. But many will return. They will awaken in the midst of their own, like I was saying, self-inflicted turmoil and return. More humble, with greater respect, with greater trust, and greater faith. Even in times of discipline, one must incline their ear to listen. That's kind of hard. I think I could listen to my mother better than I could listen to my father when it was time for discipline. In fact, there wasn't much listening to discipline when my father got a hold of you. But the proverb writer again, chapter 15, he says, a fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible. Now, a father's discipline can be a lot different than a mother's discipline, at least from my experience. My father's discipline was kind of like this: because I said so, or you do this or else. Now, don't get me wrong. My father loved us. He loved all his kids. But he had a high expectation that we were going to respect him. And honestly, we sometimes fail our children when we don't discipline them correctly. He wasn't mean in his discipline. But we did respect him. Now here's my mother's discipline. Quite a bit different. She would always try to reason and explain why. Now, that depended on the child, which one of us it was. Now, if it was my older brother and myself, we usually typically didn't listen to reason and why. We just kept doing whatever it was we were not supposed to be doing. And usually that was fighting. And she always had a fallback. She'd say, you know, you wait till your dad gets home. Or I'm going to call your dad right now and get him on the phone. And you know what? That worked really well. We stopped. We knew what that meant. But you know what? As I've gotten older, especially now, and had a lot more experience, I really appreciate their instruction when it comes to discipline more than I have in any time in my life. In fact, I really miss it. Sadly, today, many children fail to honor their parents, and many parents fail to see their children as treasures. And that's something we, in our society, we deal with a lot, constantly, in many different ways, in many different circumstances. Psalmist writes, verse 3 of chapter 127, he says, behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. The proverb writer again, and I'm using a lot of Old Testament stand-up verses. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11, there is a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. Proverbs chapter, you notice a lot of times in Scripture where you see the father and mother are mentioned together. You know why that is? Because they're a team. They're a team working to raise their children. Proverbs 30, 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 20 says, he who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness. And just the time when he really, really needs his father and his mother, they're not there because he cursed them. There will be an extreme penalty for those who do not honor their father and their mother and those who God says to honor. The word curses has a meaning more than just using bad language. It actually means to make light of one's parents. It means that a child is displaying contempt towards their parents. The Apostle Paul talked about, Jesus talked about the traditions of men and compared them to the fact that these chosen people did not honor their parents. Mark chapter 7, starting with verse 8, he says, neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. And I would encourage you to go back and read more of that, but I didn't put it all in here. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down. And you do many things such as that. Today, people make a lot of excuses for not meeting out their responsibility towards their parents. A lot of excuses. Their money is spent on self and not the welfare of those who brought them into the world. Their money and their time is spent on self and not for those who brought them into the world. And the old law to curse one's parents meant death. Exodus, two verses in Exodus chapter 21. He who strikes his father or his mother shall be put to death. Verse 17. He who curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. And we say, well, why is that so harsh? Why? You know, in my experience in my field, if that old law still applied today, there'd be a lot of dead young people. But why so harsh? Why is God so harsh on this particular subject? Why would he say, because you dishonor your parents, that you should, the penalty is putting you to death? Why is it so harsh? Because God knows if you're engulfed in contempt towards your parents, that means that you're going to be in contempt in every authority that he establishes. You'll feel the same way toward every authority that God has established. And that couldn't be more evident than it is today. Even those who are not our parents deserve honor. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 32, it says, you shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. Yet day after day in our society, we see the aged are taken advantage of and most certainly looked upon by many with contempt. It is no surprise that what we witness today is because many do not in society raise their children in the Lord. There is a direct correlation between raising your children in the Lord and not raising your children in the Lord. If you have been blessed or have had parents who raised you in, or you have parents now who are raising you in the Lord, how truly blessed you are or have been. My mother would read to us the Holy Scripture. Or a lot of times she had these, and I still have these books. A lot of times she would read to us these Bible stories when we were very young. I remember those days. And what a blessing that was. How great that was. How peaceful I felt back then. To hear my mother's voice read about Samson, or hear my mother's voice read about David and Goliath, or hear my mother's voice talk about Jesus, who he is, and what he's done. How certainly blessed I was. I wish I would have always appreciated that as much as I do now. My parents took us and often had to make us come to church when we were young. They wanted us to know the Lord. How truly blessed we have been to have had godly parents. The first commandment with a promise. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Now, I had to contemplate what he was saying there for some time. I had to meditate upon what he was saying. And I want to share just a couple of thoughts about what he's saying there, this first commandment with a promise. Because the first affects the second. Life is much, much less complicated if we listen to our godly parents. Our life could be so much easier, so much better if we'll listen to our godly parents. They have experience. They have no personal motives to achieve. They only want what's best for their children. And that long life is enhanced because our lives are greatly enriched because our parents' guidance. And secondly, I've seen in my lifetime godly parents raising their children in the church. The children have turned out to be great, great warriors for God. But their life was cut short. In fact, they didn't have long lives. They didn't live long at all. And though I believe he's certainly talking about, for the majority of the time, you're going to have, if you listen to your parents, things are going to be easier for you. If they're godly parents, it's going to be better for you while you're here on this earth. That doesn't mean everything's going to go great. I know that to be a fact. It's not going to be great, but the outcome will be great. But for those that have lived, and he's talking about those things on the earth. He's talking about having because he says that. He's talking about this life. But I'm also convinced that there's a spiritual message as well to what the Apostle Paul is saying. Godly and parents will encourage their children to be saved. My parents encouraged us to be saved. Can't force someone to be saved, but they've encouraged us to be saved. And eternity then is that forever and ever life. I can say for certain that it's been a blessing to have had a godly mother. Truly been a blessing. So I say to you mothers in here, happy Mother's Day. May God richly bless you, especially you young mothers, because I think the challenges today are much greater than the challenges that my mother had. Her biggest challenge was trying to keep track of us. You know, I didn't live too far from this church building, and I didn't know. I know I was a young person. I don't remember this, but I was always told this. Every time we'd have a family gathering, I'd be told about this. I don't know why. But I was just a youngster, and we had a baby buggy. You remember Mom telling you this? Well, that baby buggy, I didn't play with dolls or anything, but I'd put a bunch of stuff in that baby buggy, though. Might even be a Jeep, a little Jeep we had, and put stuff in there. We didn't have very many toys, but I'd put stuff in there. I didn't know. I just took off down the road. And I got quite a ways from the house. by myself. You wouldn't want to do that today. I got quite a ways. Oh, my mom was mad when she finally caught me. So her biggest issue back then was keeping my brother and I from fighting, and then keeping track of us. We had quite the family dynamic. We had a great family. But I always thought my sister was the babysitter, and I'd always ask my mom, when is she going to go home? And she finally told me, broke the news to me, that's not the babysitter, that's your sister. Because she'd get mad at you, she'd put your head in the toilet. Because she was a babysitter. She was older than we were. But yeah, we had a good life growing up. Good life, because we had godly parents. Godly parents. So if you have godly parents, thank God every day. So I'm going to offer, or we're going to offer an invitation. I'm not offering it. Jesus himself offers this invitation. Today we invite you to hear the invitation. Become a child of God. Get on that road to that blessed forever and ever life, which is eternity. Be baptized for the remission of sin. And Jesus himself will add you to his church. Now, if you are a child of God, but you need the prayers of your brethren, and we know we have many that's on our prayer list, and many need prayer. Sometimes we don't speak about the fact that we need prayer. But if you need prayer, this is a loving, compassionate group of people before you, and they will pray for you, and we will pray for you, and we will help you whatever way we can. So please let us know how we can help you today, while we stand and while we sing.